Welcome to the Homes on Homes podcast. Today is all about safety. I have Eric Drost with me from Eaton. Electrical safety to me is very important. I don't think too many people, 22 years of filming. I've been filming 22 years. Little stories like we go in and help mom and dad. But the dad has done all kinds of wild electrical in his home. And I'm talking about using an 18 gauge line, so thin speaker wire, literally, to run lights in his basement. Is that dangerous?
Well, certainly that's dangerous. And that's why we hire pros to do our electrical work.
Too many people think they can do the electrical in their home, which, you know, man, I've been doing electrical since I was a kid, honestly. I mean, I rewired the whole second floor at 6 years old under my father's supervision. And, you know, I got better at it. I got really good at it. And I got to the days that I was doing electrical, plumbing, everything during construction as a young boy. Did I do everything right? No, I think I learned along the way, but I definitely did better than using speaker wire to set up lights. You don't do things like that. But my point is that people have the tendency to not be afraid to play with electrical. And I don't think they realize that, you know, if you wire your own home, which you're allowed to, you can get a permit, you can do the wiring, it must be inspected by the electrical safety authorities. If you don't, and there's fire, insurance is going to go, you did that. You're supposed to have a licensed electrical contractor. I don't think they realize the possibilities of things that can happen. You don't want a fire. You don't want people to die. I mean, certain little things. I got to show you this one picture because I think this is hilarious. Okay. See this picture?
That's amazing.
He's
standing in a bathtub?
So the first thing about this is you see the guy standing in the bathtub and he's getting at the electrical panel. Everyone's going to think, well, that's really crazy because he could be electrocuted. What I'm looking at is, why is the electrical panel at the bathtub?
That's clearly a remodel in some form or fashion, right, where they ran some plumbing into a room that was once a utility room.
No permits, because this wouldn't be allowed.
Right.
This is why we actually say get some permits. I had to show you that because I think that I saw that and went, that's stupid.
That's amazing. It's amazing that folks have this confidence to mess with their electrical systems whenever one wrong circuit wired incorrectly can really cause some major damage, right?
Not just that. I mean, what if a kid is in the bathtub splashing, right? Stands up, opens up the electrical panel. Oh, that's not good. That's really not good.
Who took that picture?
That's even funnier. Like it was a good idea.
Right.
All right, we've got a lot of people out there that do electrical that shouldn't be doing electrical. On job sites, I think homeowners, when they're hiring a contractor to come in and they want a new kitchen, and they let the contractor do the electrical, which is a no-no. One thing that it comes to, especially here where I live, you can be fined, and big fines, by touching electrical without a permit. Even receptacles and switches, by touching it, you can be fined. It's not like the ESA, Electrical Safety Authority, wants to fine everyone. They're trying to create a bylaw, a law, that makes sense to everyone because we've had electrical fires left, right, and center. You know, you and I have talked about EVs and how they're installed, and right now everyone's buying electric cars, and they're hiring anyone they can to install them, and that's a really bad no-no. You need a permit. You need a licensed electrical contractor. To get to everyone out there, it's almost like we need to educate them about the safeties. You know, things like, is Canada code the same as United States code?
So United States code and Canada code can differ by province and by state. It's on the states to adopt the national electrical code or the Canadian electrical code. Those states warrant what's safest installation for those homes. It's really important when you're hiring an electrical contractor that they have education and they understand the National Electrical Code and how to enforce that, because in all reality, you've called the experts. You expect them to provide safety inside your home. And we as a manufacturer are really helping to supply those contractors with devices that truly make a difference, right? So the arc fault breakers clearly help protect us from electrical fire.
Yeah, but let's talk about arc fault breakers for a second. I remember when they first came out, everyone was, these receptacles, you did a bad job. I plugged in my vacuum cleaner in my bedroom. Arc fault breakers were designed, just so you know, to go by your beds. They started in the bedrooms. Because why? Everyone put their bed against the receptacles on the wall. Your sheets are hanging down. Your blankets are hanging down. The lights are plugged into it. Everything else is plugged into it. And all of a sudden, because there's a little arc there right at the receptacle where it's plugged in, the sheets go on fire and causes a fire. So arc fault breakers or arc fault receptacles. Sorry, we do have arc fault receptacles now, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so arc fault breakers were introduced to try and stop that from happening. If it senses anything to do on that circuit that it's going to have an arc or any arcing, it trips the breaker. People complained about that because they were so sensitive, their vacuums set off the breaker. It's trying to teach people that the breakers are now code. And you have to have them. It's not like, oh, I don't like that, change that breaker. No, that's there to save you. That's there to make sure your house doesn't catch on fire.
And ignition sources are typically behind walls where we don't see them, right? So you've got insulation behind those walls. So you talked about having the bed sheets catch on fire. That's something that you can physically see. Some of the dangers lie behind the drywall or behind, you know, the walls in general. And our breakers are designed to trip that circuit so that it trips to safe.
So it doesn't overheat.
Correct.
Doesn't start arcing and make a fire.
Correct.
And this is going to be based also on old houses to new houses. Old houses, oh my goodness, it could have been played with electrical for years and years. Say a house is 70 years old. First person may have made some changes along the way, sold the house, they came in, they did some renos. And how many times that house has been renovated means how many times electrical's been touched, plumbing's been touched, and is it right? Are there hidden junction boxes? Well, if you watch my show, it's on every single home. It's not a surprise anymore to me. It's on every single home, hidden junction points. And what are the junctions? Is it aluminum to copper? That's a bad thing. Aluminum and copper heat up and expand differently.
Correct. Right?
One's oval, one's round. That's copper's round, aluminum is oval. This is what happens when you pony the wires together. When they heat up, because you plugged in a 1500 watt heater and you left it on for way too long, that connection gets very, very hot. You ever reached and grabbed that plug? You can feel how hot that plug is using that much wattage. It's not going to blow the breaker because the breaker says it's not being overpowered. It's not anything over 1800 watts to blow the breaker. So it heats up. That junction point becomes a fire hazard or an arc hazard. And that's why we bring in the arc breakers. This is part of code that most people should not understand, right?
They don't need to understand it. It's on the experts to understand it and to make your home safer by introducing you to this different type of technology, especially in remodels. So the National Electrical Code is obviously, as you're standing up and building new homes, they have to build them to code, right? It's a requirement, it's a must. When you're doing renovation inside the home, it's really important for you to consider actually improving your home all the way to the latest revision of the National Electrical Code, because what's good for us 10 years ago is good for us today as well, right? And if you think about it, when fuses were around, you remember the fuses?
Oh, I sure do.
That's when the Model T was a car, right? Or horse and buggy, right? We don't see horse and buggy or Model Ts around anymore, right? So it's really important for us to understand that as everything else progresses, our electrical systems need to progress as well, and all it's doing is keeping us safer as families inside our house.
I still see fuse panels. I still see them out there. Or we go into houses like, oh man, you still got a fuse panel? And the biggest mistake people do out there with a fuse panel is that fuse keeps blowing. They'll go from a 15 amp fuse up to a 20 amp fuse. And that's a no-no, because now you're allowing the lines in the wall, especially if it's old wiring, to even get hotter. This is a big fire issue for your home. And that's only because we've gotten lazy and we don't want to keep changing the fuse. We think it's okay. It's not okay. That's why if you have fuses, bring in a licensed electrical contractor and put in a new panel. And odds are you're going to have a little bit more electrical work to do in that home. How many times have I gone to a home and they said, Mike, we want a new bathroom. You know, maybe we'll do a kitchen too. And I signed the contract, we're going to do it. But when I actually look inside the house, my electrician comes in and he goes, man, this place needs to be rewired. There's no ground in the house. Now that's a problem. This becomes a costly thing. I'd like to really educate people to the point of when you buy a new home or an old home, especially an old home, that you hire a licensed electrical contractor to go take a look at it before you buy it.
And to be honest with you, even when you're replacing appliances and things of that nature, something as small as that can have you know, extra load that's tied into your load center. So as we start to think about electrifying the U.S. and Canada, you know, adding EV chargers or adding some appliances that may have at one time been gas powered and now are transitioning to electric, it's really important for us to do a quick evaluation of your electrical system to make sure, A, you can support that device, and B, really as a safety inspection. We're not trying to make things more difficult here, Mike. That's truly not what we're trying to do. We're trying to make things safer. And I think as long as we focus on safety, right? Because to a homeowner, the electrical code doesn't mean much, right? They are focused on keeping their home safe, and they're relying on that contractor, that licensed electrical contractor, to come in and provide that level of service for them. It's really important to find one that you trust.
Shouldn't homeowners ask the electrical contractors, can I see your license? Just to confirm that they are licensed. One thing I love about working with Eaton, I've been working with Eaton for years now, especially on the show, is that Eaton has their own ECCN. ECCN stands for?
Eaton Certified Contractor Network. And let me tell you just a little bit about it. So really what ECCN is we as a manufacturer are going out there and finding the best talent and contractors, partnering with them to install our products. We train them. We not only train them on code and on product, but we also train them on how to treat the homeowner, how to respect the homeowner, understanding that you were brought there for an issue because you are the expert. You need to provide the solution to the issue and then also take a look at the entire system to make sure that there's nothing else that you can suggest as that contractor.
Yeah, it should be a one-stop shop. The electrician goes in, we'll call him an electrician, licensed electrical contractor. Electrician goes in. It isn't just to change a couple of lights or anything. While you're there, look at everything quickly. Make sure that you see the panels proper, the electrical's proper for safety for the homeowner. If there's something you see, tell the homeowner.
You know what you're going to find as a homeowner? If you find a licensed electrical contractor, the first step that they should do is, in their troubleshooting process, is to go to the load center. Take off the load center cover safely. Make sure that everything inside the load center is landed properly. Make sure the cabling is right. And we talked about the difference in technology and breaker. There's difference in technology and actual physical cable as well.
The size, the gauge of the wire.
Correct. And even the sheathing to the cable, things of that nature. Rodents have a tendency to chew on cable. When you chew on a cable and it comes down to the bare wire, that's when arcing can occur. And typically, those cables are set within some insulation. So that insulation is really, really flammable, right? We don't know that as homeowners. We rely on that electrical contractor to test those circuits to make sure that they're functioning properly.
That brings me to building code, electrical code. Building code is minimum code. Electrical code is minimum code. Like you said, the insulation is flammable. Shouldn't we be minimum code be a fire-rated insulation? To me, it should be. And this, so the question about electrical codes, minimum code is okay, but we should be working even higher on electrical, not just building.
Yeah, I think what we try to do is not make it super difficult. We don't want to make the installations any more expensive. we're not aimed at that. What we're looking at is really keeping everything within the home safe. Arc fault protection, which we talked about. Ground fault protection, which is keeping us safe from, you know, areas where there may be water. And the photo that you showed at the beginning of the conversation is paramount. Like, it doesn't feel like it's a ridiculous thing to be standing somewhere that may be damp, right? And just not thinking about it, touch something electrical. And unfortunately, there's casualties that could potentially happen that way. We want to make sure that those folks stay safe. We have children. I have children. I know you have new members of your family. We want to make sure that the little folks who may not understand electrical like we do aren't shocked or hurt by this receptacle whenever we can protect them as fathers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles. It's
a GFI example would be this, is that if you don't have GFIs in your home, because the home is probably before 1970, so that's ground fault interrupter. You're outside, you got an electric lawnmower, right? You're cutting wet grass. Not thinking. Wet grass. You're wearing shoes and your feet start to get wet. That receptacle doesn't have a ground fault on it. Now that you're holding metal that's touching the grass, your feet are wet, you can be electrocuted.
Absolutely, and that's what we talked about when we talked about when you have electrical work done. These are suggestions that your contractor can make, right? So our Eaton certified contractors are gonna come in, they're gonna make those suggestions. Whether you would like those installed in your house or you decide not to, at least the opportunity to add safety to your house is in front of you, right? Because that electrical shock is a real thing.
That is a real thing. And it would actually bother me if homeowners thought, you know what, do I have to do that? The electrical contractor is going to say, you don't have to. I recommend you do. And what if they don't, because maybe they don't have enough money? You know, I get all this. But I think we need to put things in priority when it comes to your home. Electrical, number one priority. Roof over your head, number one priority. So that's the envelope of the house, just to keep Mother Nature from coming in, including rodents, and electrical to keep your house from burning down and no one getting electrocuted. So going above minimum code, it's probably would be inconvenience. You start getting the smart switches, smart receptacles, smart breakers. Holy cow. This keeps going in different directions when it comes to the electrical world. That's not that the homeowners need to know this. It's that our contractors or licensed electrical contractors need to know this so they can give you the best advice possible. Based on what you want to do. Everyone wants to go smart now. They just do. They want to be able to be in bed and grab their phone, right? Start the coffee machine downstairs because I want a coffee now. There's different ways of doing it, but I'm just saying it. I can control my thermostat, which I love.
Yes.
I love that. You know, something simple. I could be in New York and all of a sudden I find out that I've got to change the temperature in the house. I can do that. So to me, that's smarter, and you know, I'd like to build smarter of just building better. I think that's smart.
Yes.
And that's my point about the electrical.
So old wiring is not going to allow you to do that. You have to have a neutral wire for these smart devices, right? For a lot of the devices that need that two-way communication within the house, it's really important for us to understand that upgrading wiring when you're upgrading devices is very important as well, right? We obviously want to make our homes smarter. It's convenient for us. There's this level, this awe factor that comes in whenever you can say, hey, so-and-so, turn on my living room lights. It's a really cool thing for us to be able to do. And to be honest with you, in some cases, it's providing additional safety. So if you think about just general lighting, hallway lighting, things of that nature, wayfinding. Making sure that you can see just a little bit at night so that you can find the bathroom, that you can go down the stairs.
Without falling down and breaking your neck.
Down. Correct. Being able to install devices that actually have a nightlight built in to the actual receptacle, those are cool.
They are.
It's a cool way to actually make your home smarter without actually having a platform or a Wi-Fi or Z-Wave, something like that. Some folks are into that. While other folks are a little bit more techie and they really want to get some of the devices that they can talk to and actually couple devices together where I can say, hey, so-and-so, it's time for the kids to go to bed, and it's going to shut down all the lights in the room, right? And it's going to make a really a comfortable space for the children to be able to relax and actually get some rest at night. And that's with just voice command.
The pathway point you were talking about, I really like this because this is what is above minimum code. Minimum code says you don't have to have that. It's a receptacle, it's a switch in the wall, whether it's a 3-gang, 2-gang, which doesn't matter if you don't understand. I think it's the smartest thing we can do in the hallway is to put in a receptacle that has a nightlight that senses when it's dark to turn on to be safe. I'd like to see that in the staircase area because most times you don't have a light in the staircase area. You have to turn that light on. And that could be simple as just putting in a motion sensor that as soon as it senses someone coming towards the stairs, it turns on a light in the stairs. That, I like those things. I mean, we can go way above that, but that's a safety thing to me.
And it's providing a smarter home. Occupancy sensors, vacancy sensors. You're walking into the laundry room and you got the full basket of laundry. You can't turn the light on. You've got to use your elbow, things like that. Wouldn't it be really nice to just be able to walk in and have the light come on for you?
In my laundry room, as soon as you open the door and walk in, it's on a sensor switch. Light comes on, you don't have to worry about it. The bathroom, we do the same thing. Like, these are the little smart things we can do in our home that, again, are above minimum code. So we have some audience questions here, and I love this part because it's from you guys, right? This is great questions. I'll show you some great pictures, just like the one of the guy in the bathtub touching the panel. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I'm more upset that somebody put a tub right by the panel than I am with the guy standing in the bathtub working on the panel.
I agree. I mean, they just put a bathtub anywhere they wanted to put a bathtub at that point.
That's what bothers me more. Did you really not think a bathtub in front of a panel? You're going to have a wand to shower when you...
Right.
Jesus, just to wash your hair. So here's a question. What if the work was done prior to me purchasing the home?
Listen, we all have father-in-laws. We all have brothers who like to dabble, right? So these folks think they can do electrical work. And you don't know the past history of that home. You have to inspect. And one of the main issues with those inspections is pointing out just some of the flaws that they have and talking to the homeowner or the potential homeowner educated about the fix, right? Because electrician... sometimes they may have a stigma, right? That they're going to come into your home and maybe shake you down for some extra things.
Oh, they're going to charge me thousands to fix a receptacle.
But you don't know the history of that home.
Right.
And you don't know the history of the work provided in that home. One wrong connection, Mike, one wrong connection can be critical inside a home.
Could be a very unsafe thing.
Absolutely.
Fire, a shock hazard.
Correct.
One thing when it comes to buying the house and not knowing what was happened before you bought the house is two phases here. One, first phase, you bought that bag of problems because you bought it. So should you do the inspection before? In most cases or most places, you can't really get an inspection done because maybe 10 people want the house and they're all doing a bidding war. Don't let that scare you. Because electrical is not the most expensive thing in the home, right? It just isn't. Because you could buy that house, but get the electrical checked before you move in. It just makes sense to me. Make sure it's safe for you, and especially if you have kids.
Without question.
So, you know Frank, my electrician.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great guy. He's been with me from the beginning.
Is he around?
I wish he was.
Yeah, it would be a great person to have here.
He could be walking around the store buying something.
Oh, really?
Yes. Frank, I said to him years ago, when he first started with me, one, you're going to have to open your own business. I said, you know, I told him all of this. He didn't believe it. All of a sudden, his phone rang, and he had to open his own business. So it was great. He became a licensed electrical contractor. When that new code came in effect, that you had to be a licensed electrical contractor to pull a permit.
He's also an ECCN contractor.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, which I really like. But I said to him, we should do a test and troubleshoot. Let's call it a test and troubleshoot. Tell the world about it. It's going to be $350 to come to your home and do a test and troubleshoot. All they're doing is coming in and making sure everything's grounded. Nothing's really bad. I mean, when it comes to mice chewing on or squirrels chewing on electrical lines, you don't know it becomes a problem until it actually starts to disrupt. In other words, lights start to dim or it, you know, receptacle, something doesn't work, then it can become a problem.
And this is where breakers trip for a reason.
Right.
For a reason. They're not being a nuisance majority of the time. All they're doing is waving their hands at the fact that you have an electrical problem. And it's designed and built directly into the technology of the breaker. Mike, did you know that we have breakers now that in one breaker has both arc fault and ground fault protection built into the same breaker?
That's amazing. Yes.
It's required in code in a lot of dwellings. So we designed that product because code had decided that, listen, we not only need this arc fault protection, but we also need ground fault protection. In your kitchen, you don't necessarily just need to be protected from electrical shock. You also need that wire to be safe as well and not arc.
You can do this in the whole home. That means the whole panel is arc fault protected and GFI protected. Is that more money? Yes. Is it wise? Yes. I like the idea.
Absolutely.
But it's not minimum code.
Right.
This is raising the code. Next question. Why do all the jobs you do or go to have the electrical panel sideways, I love this one, versus up and down? Is this just a matter of how it's always being done by you? Is sideways panel to code? So, I guess it depends on where you are.
Correct.
You can go sideways and you can go vertical.
In Canada, it is okay to install your panel sideways. And the reason for that is code in Canada actually requires a service entry barrier from the main breaker to all the branch breakers. So all the branch breakers are actually going to come off the middle of the load center versus in the States where a lot of the branch breakers can actually come off through the top and the sides of the panel. Some of the other things that we hear from your viewers is your load centers are white. Ours in the States typically aren't white. And that's just a difference in how you guys install up here and the needs for your customers up here. So when you guys see the photos of the horizontal load centers and you're talking about, well, that's not code in the States. Well, you're right. But it is code in Canada.
And mainly, I guess it's because there's a lot more basements in Canada than there is in the United States. So in a basement, we need that where that point of where the electricity comes in your home. That's why we can go sideways. So again, we've designed, and you, Eaton, has designed panels for us to go sideways.
Correct.
Which we love. It just makes it easy. So it's not a big deal if it's vertical or sideways. What the big deal is that it's been done by a licensed electrical contractor, and no homeowners or no cowboys out there are messing with it. That's the important point. But it's against code in the United States. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Why?
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not quite sure.
Okay. That's okay that you don't know.
Right.
And that's okay. Is it a deal? I think it's just because it's, you know, like sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
It's what we're used to doing. And in the United States, they're used to having it vertical. There's no real reason, because it can go horizontal. We make them, obviously, because we can put them in Canada.
But I think you would need to retrain all of the inspectors to understand what they're looking for in a horizontal
application. That's the problem with code. I swear to God, you got to retrain everyone. When I introduced spray foam to the market, to the world, we literally had to work with BASF and building code to understand how to use this, what the code is, what the R value is, because in their mind, they were like, nope, I want vapor barrier over top of that spray foam. Do not put vapor barrier over top of spray foam ever. It's got its own, that's its own barrier. That's why they call it a thermal break, not a thermal barrier.
Gotcha. Right?
The difference, but that's getting outside of electrical. Let's go back to these pictures, because I gotta tell you, these pictures are funny. I find totally funny. So there's the guy in the bathtub. When I see crappy pictures like this, okay, obviously this is really old. This is from an old home. We've got some cut wires right down short, live wires hanging out, and that's minor.
And overspray.
Yeah.
So there's paint overspray. There's not enough wire that's coming out of there to actually wire
to
in anything
with.
In there.
I've got many shocks, you know, trying to fix that years ago.
Yeah.
Trying to fix it. Well, then someone would say, why didn't you turn the power off?
And then I see that there's not a wire nut on the neutral there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, never mind the hot. That's a hot. That's a hot.
Just so, abandoned hots.
Yeah, just, you know. It's not hurting anyone, is it? It is if you got that over the bathtub. There's another thing. Chandeliers over a bathtub. What the hell is wrong with people?
That's not a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
That's a thing.
It's a thing. Chandeliers over a bathtub. Like in the middle of the bathroom, we did a whole new bathroom. I walk in, I see a chandelier. And I say, what if you're standing in the bathtub and you want to change the bulb in your chandelier? That's about smart. There's a code that says you can't be able to touch electrical from the tub, right?
Yeah.
Don't put a chandelier in your bathroom. That's just ridiculous. Here's one here. So here we have a plumbing pipe with wire going into it.
So that's an aluminum plumbing pipe?
I think it's acting as a junction point because we have a different color wire on each side. Maybe that's the access?
I've seen a lot of things in my years. I don't think I've ever seen aluminum. Is the aluminum piping or is that steel piping? Is
that gas? It appears to be a galvanized, from what I'm seeing. It is a plumbing pipe and it was probably a galvanized, but that's not a junction box.
They also use PVC for a reason.
It's not a junction. Something so small. Then you're in the attic, and we talked about this earlier. What do we see? A junction box in the attic, which junction box is fine.
Not capped, so it doesn't have a cap. It is flooded with wires.
Overloaded.
So they're you know, read the ratings, make sure that that junction box only has the amount of wires that it's rated for.
And there's insulation there.
There's insulation
there.
That's
not fire resistant.
That, I'll be honest with you, when you see DIY, you see folks that have hired folks that clearly aren't certified to do this, you may see that. You may run into that. That's probably more common than we think as homeowners.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's why it's, man, it's everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I would say anything before, let's say, 1980, 9 out of 10 houses have electrical issues.
And think about how many houses were built before 1980.
A lot.
A lot.
And they're the problem ones. They're the new houses, you don't really have a problem unless somebody messes with it. And they may make changes. You bought a house in 2002, it's now 2023, they may make changes. And they may have done it wrong. They may not have got a permit. Little things like this.
Just different wiring being spliced together, abandoned, no wire nuts on, no junction box at all.
Totally unsafe.
Totally unsafe.
So this was done by, I don't know, I don't even want to think it was done by a cowboy. You know, like, but who did this? Very foolish.
These are viewers, right, that have submitted these
things. They send in these pictures.
So these are very common, if you think about it, because these folks found them. What about the folks that haven't found them? I have a horror story for you. A new construction, you know, I'm not going to mention any company names, things of that nature, but they partnered with a contractor who wasn't qualified or did shoddy work. And it's important for us to filter through those folks because listen to this. New house, new construction. Contractor goes in, wires the home. Lands all the arc fault breakers, ground fault breakers. Everything tests out perfect. Inspector inspects it. No problem, no issues. That electrician still has access to the house, goes into the home, removes all the arc fault and ground fault breakers, replaces all of them with thermomagnetic breakers, leaving that homeowner without fire protection, without GFCI protection, and took the surge protector off of the house as well.
He should be fined.
Should not be allowed to do electrical work.
Here, we have the ESA, that's the Electrical Safety Authority, and they can fine. Now, I mean, that's going to vary across the country of Canada. It's only in Ontario we have ESA. And how about the United States? What do you have as a governing body that does the inspections?
Yeah, we have inspectors across the country.
So just electrical inspectors.
Electrical inspectors. They all subscribe to an organization called the IAEI. But, you know, that is a brotherhood almost of electrical inspectors that compare notes, that make sure that they're doing things commonized.
Great. That's a good thing. That's not
Absolutely.
A bad thing.
Correct.
this really comes down to everyone out there. You can't allow your contractor, even your general contractor, to touch the electrical in your home. It must be a licensed, certified electrician. Just that simple. You can't. As a matter of fact, that box that I showed you in the attic, remember the one by the insulation overloaded? That was done by a contractor that did a new bathroom downstairs and decided to put the junction box up in the attic. That's how he left it. That's a no-no. You have to use a licensed electrical contractor. It's that simple. You, if you want to let the contractor do it, you are at fault. Not me, not you. You are. I've been to houses where I've said to the homeowners, you're lucky your house didn't burn down or you didn't get killed.
I just watched an episode where you said that to somebody.
And I was very serious. Very serious.
Yeah.
You could have been killed. But this is why you're here, Eric, and why we're talking about electrical safety. I want to thank you so much for coming in here. I want to thank Eaton. And let's keep making it right together. I think we do this well as a team.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike, for having me today. I certainly appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Improve Canada, Canada's largest home improvement center. Check out improvecanada.com. If you like the show, check out the episode page on makeitright.ca for more tips.